If you're new to Lifeline, we're starting a series. We started it last week. I don't even know. Anybody know what we talked about last week? I don't remember. Something from, River Rats. Sharing the Word. One of the things, if you watch this, they are not ashamed of sharing the gospel. They are not ashamed of preaching and talking and sharing who Jesus Christ is to them. Almost like when you find a good friend, you're not afraid to tell everybody, hey, I have a nice new friend. Or maybe if you get engaged and you're not ashamed to say, hey, this is my wife or my husband, or whatever it might be. So today we're taking a look at chapter 8, I believe it is. And chapter 8 has a subtitle in it called Never Sell Yourself Short. And a lot of what he talks about in there ends up as, kind of being a challenge to everybody, challenge to myself, to several different things that really would say, let me go beyond just what I'm doing and maybe live my dream. About 15 years ago, I did a message a lot like what I'm going to share with you today. And there's a guy, just for the sake of animus, whatever, so you don't know his name, whatever that word is. I'll call him Joe. And Joe heard a message like I'm going to share with you today, and though he was married and had children, he was pretty miserable. Now, he wasn't miserable and unhappy with his family or his kids or his wife. He just was kind of where his life was at. You see, he wanted to be a teacher. More than anything, he wanted to teach. He was stuck in a dead-end kind of a job, and I preached a message pretty much like what I was going to preach to you today. About a year before this time, he had given his life to Christ. Gotten saved, born again, whatever wording you want to use, he had turned his heart and his life around and given it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when somebody has Jesus Christ as the center of their life, I tell them, then you can go after your dream. You can. You don't have to settle for what you're doing. So he started out on a path that would begin to take him down the road to possibly get him a teacher's degree, then a master's, and several other things. Did he make it or did he not? I got to tell you, he really, really had a dream to do it, and it was much, much harder having a family than he realized. There would be times when he would never let me forget. You said Jesus wanted us to be happy and to go after what we want. And there was times it was just like, yeah. But there was times when he would have to work nights. Because it was the only time that he could basically get to a place where he could get to class. And then he wouldn't see his family hardly at all. It was hard. And so what I want to share with you today may tickle your heart. But if you don't see some of the hard parts of it, you haven't seen all of it. I want to give you a mixture of practical world living and biblical principles. Would you please, in your Bibles, find Psalm 37. Psalm 37, find it on your phone. Find it in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles up here. We want you to have one. Don't leave here without one when the service is over. We purchased them for you. Take one with you today. So I have right at the top of your notes, if you're new, we have a set of notes. You're welcome to follow along in there. And right at the top of there, I have that phrase, humble beginnings. In his book, and for every one of the points today, I'll give you a quote from the book, also a quote from the Scripture, just kind of keeping a little bit of Phil Robertson in there, and then I'll show you a clip. And he said, some of the most successful businesses in American history started as mom-and-pop operations, on nothing more than a family's dream, hard work, and a shoestring budget. And then he talks a little bit about Ben and Jerry. Then he talks about Sam Walton and where Walmart ends up. He talks about Kathy Truitt and how Chick-fil-A started in this little tiny restaurant. I forget, I should have looked it up. He called it some little corner shack or something like that. And today you look at it. And I know all of those are big, big dreams and you think, well, that could never happen to me. And I know that maybe those seem bigger than life. But are they? Are they for you? And you finding, are you selling yourself short because you look at Ben and Jerry's and you don't know the story, or you look at Chick-fil-A and you don't realize the hard, hard work they put into it? I want to use a mixture of practical worldly advice, and I want to use the Word of God, blend it together today, Psalm 37, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read verse 1 and 7, the beginning and the ending first, and then we'll look at the sandwich in the middle. The first verse says, do not fret, underline it, Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. Lots of times you may be living your dream, trying to go towards your goal, and you're thinking, I'm serving Jesus Christ, right? And the whole rest of the world's living like the devil, and they're advancing. Don't fret. Look at verse 7. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Two times He says to us, don't fret. You know the biggest fret that people have nowadays? It seems to me it's the economy. Yeah, we use it as an excuse. The economy's bad, can't get a job, can't find a job, whatever it is might be. You know, the economy, whatever else might be there, I don't know what it is that causes you to fret. Now let's look at the whole context. Do not fret, verse 1 says, because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. A picture of their eternity is shriveled up and in hell forever. Yours isn't. No matter how you live your life on this earth, and no matter what you have or don't have, or if you fulfill your dream, if you trust Christ, yours is in eternity, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Say what? If you love Jesus with all your heart, could it be possible that something in your heart would be something He wouldn't want you to do? Maybe. But take the trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Verse 4, take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desire of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. On your way to the road that you're on. I don't care if you're old, young, in between, if you're getting out of high school, trying to find a college, trying to find a job, trying to retire, wherever you're at. You always have a dream. You're not just living, are you? Don't you have something else you're trying to achieve for? He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Folks, this country has been through many difficult things. The Great Depression, some of the world wars that were tough, Pearl Harbor, different things that happened there, right on our own land. Many different things that this country has come through. The recession of the 70s, when interest rates got, 22, 23%? We've come through some things. If you know that, if you study the history of that, you will not fret. It won't keep you sitting on the couch thinking, we're going nowhere here. Let me show you a little clip. I think it's about a minute and a half. A little bit of the background of Duck Dynasty as he's being interviewed about how he got his business going. Five things I want to share with you today. This is the kind of notes that I probably won't spend enough time on each of these 5 points. Just in taking a look at where he's at the first 28 years of his life, he served himself. He was a drunk. Next week we're going to be talking about one of the chapters in his book called Put Down the Bottle. That'll be a fun one to be at, everybody. And so he said the next 38 years, what he did was, is the next 38 years, he served the Lord. And the Lord, he lived Psalm 37 in everything he did. So as I give you these five points, you might want to take this piece of paper. You might want to keep it in your Bible or keep it with you somewhere. You might want to keep meditating on it as the Lord shows you things that maybe I can't even see that will apply to who you are and where you are. Number one, if you look up here, it says, you know, of course the title is Never Sell Yourself Short, but the title up at the top there, the point there, the main heading there is, but it may take longer than you think. Because in this country, we want it now. So number one, Duck Commander started out as a dream. Now, like I told you, I have a quote in every one of these. You want to fill that in with me? Go ahead, just take a pen, fill that right in. Duck Commander, it started out as a dream. He had a friend that he took a duck calling, and he learned how to use this duck call. And his friend, I think his name was Al, the last name I think was Bolin, he said, quote, man, you weren't calling those ducks, you were commanding them. And so later on, when he got ready to start his business, Al said, you know what? I know what the name of your business should be, Duck Commander. And it stuck ever since. Because why? Somebody around him saw that he was good at what he did. Can I ask you a question? What you're trying to do and what you're trying to accomplish, is there anybody around you, other than your mother, who says, you can do it? Do you have somebody else around you that says, you're good at that? Do you have somebody else that is encouraging? Somebody other than mama who's always going to be there for you, who wouldn't say, oh yes, son, you can do anything you want. Do you have somebody? Phil had somebody confirm to him the thought that was in his own mind. He says, I'm pretty good at this. Sometimes our problem is we say we stink at something when we're good, and sometimes the problem is we're really good at something and we won't give ourselves credit for it, struggle with that old self-esteem thing. So I ask you two questions. Number one, what's your dream? What is your dream? Well, is your dream about retirement? Is your dream, and you might have to put some finances in place. You might have to sacrifice now for what you want to do. Is your dream, I know a lady, she's a great baker. She wants to start a bakery. I test her products. She should start a bakery. I kid you not. What is your dream? Does it have to do with ministry? Would you like to be in ministry one day? Not enough people consider that or pray for that. Do you want to be on TV and on air personality? Can God be glorified in what it is that you want to do? Second question I have for you is, has anybody other than your mother confirmed it or said anything about it? Moms and dads, you need to be straight honest with your kids so they know that when you're telling them the truth and encouraging them it's true, because you can't tell them that everything is great all the time because you know that ain't true. Sometimes when they ask you a question, you ought to say, maybe you ought to ask somebody else that question. So while Phil was trying to fulfill his dream, Phil Robertson, he didn't fret. Though they made very little bit of money. Look at verse 3. He trusted in the Lord and he did good. You know what's good in God's sight? Serving Jesus Christ, living for Jesus Christ, sharing His Word. Are you doing that? Or are you so wrapped up in your dream and your life that you're not doing good? Look at the side of it. And He will give you the desire of... I keep skipping over this. Trust in the Lord and do good. I keep jumping to the next one. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. That is a picture of enjoying fellowship with God. You see, Jesus is passionate about having a relationship with you. He is passionate about having a relationship with you. And this is a picture of you and Him dwelling together in this pasture and enjoying it. Don't let your pursuit of your dream drive you towards anxiety. Do not fret. Number two, no one may believe in you. Kind of the opposite of point number one, isn't it? No one may believe in you. Just the opposite of what I just had to say. But when Phil had bought a piece of equipment, had moved it in, had had a sample of one of his duck calls, he went into his dad's home. He calls him Paul. His dad always played dominoes, if you read the book, with his grandsons. He said it taught him how to think and plan ahead and stuff like that. And he came in like he did, and he announced it. I see these? I'm going to make $1 million with these. They all looked up at him. Now look at the quote under number two. When I said we were going to sell $1 million worth, they all looked back down at their dominoes. Paul picked one up, smacked it on the table and said, 10. He didn't even acknowledge what I'd said. There's probably some people in your life that they don't believe in you. They don't believe in what you're going to do. No one may believe in you. Seek the advice of the Scriptures and what the Scriptures teaches and says to us. You may have started out as a dream. Has somebody else confirmed it in you? Are there Christians that you could possibly surround yourself with? When I got ready to go into ministry, for 14 years I was in the work world, welding technician, aero welding in Eastlake. When I got ready and had a call into ministry, how does somebody confirm that call? I was studying the Scriptures, and the Scriptures I came across, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and right there it said, there is wisdom among many advisors. So I found three people who loved Jesus and loved me enough to tell me the truth even when it hurt. And that wasn't my mama. And when I tried to go from being in the work world to selling my house and quitting and going into ministry, I sought those three individuals. And you would be shocked and amazed at every time I saw them and talked to them, how they all gave the same advice without any of them knowing that. Do you have a couple people? The Word of God says, seek wisdom. There's wisdom among many advisors, but they got to love Jesus. so that Jesus stays at the center of it. They got to be able to be people who will tell you. I mean, you may think to yourself, well, I don't have enough education. Okay, gotcha. Has that ever stopped anybody? You may be thinking, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or maybe you don't have enough money, or you're too afraid because you're fretting. Before Phil was saved, he was a drunken bum. Now he began to live, verse 4. He took delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. With Jesus Christ on his side, him serving him, he said, you know what? I love the Lord. This is what I want to do. I'm going to go after it. Is Jesus number one? If that's the case, get out on the water. Walk somewhere where nobody else is walking. See if Jesus doesn't hold you up. No one may believe in you. Phil was saved. Like I said, he came out of a really bad situation. We're going to look at that next week. He began to take delight in the Lord. Number 3, stay determined. Things that you guys all know, but I just from a Christian perspective, you know, sometimes these things happen and you say, where in the world was Jesus? I've been praying, asking him to protect me. Why didn't he protect me? Phil was getting ready to start up his business, and he didn't know how much money it was going to take him. So a guy said, I'll sign for you, and I believe in you. He co-signed for him, which is not something I normally advise people to do. And Phil said to him, how much money? He says, I don't want nothing. He says, I want the joy of knowing I help somebody. How about you? I just want the joy of knowing I help put somebody in business. He says, because you're going to make it. He got a loan for $25,000. He needed a lathe to turn the wood and everything. He called a guy that had won a couple states over, and he says, how much for the lathe? And the guy says, well, how much do you got? He says, I got $25,000. And the guy's like, you're in luck. It's $24,996 or something. Of course, you guys know what happened. When he got the piece of equipment, it ran. It was old. They found out it was only worth about $5,000, maybe $6,000. Look at the quote that he's from the book right down there. The sucker fleeced me. You don't think as a Christian you won't have some setbacks? Stay determined. Don't think you have some kind of a Tesla. Today is a message of practical life and God's Word. If you never have a setback, you never have to wait patiently on the Lord. Because it's all just going full steam ahead. Stay determined. The first 10 years of their business, they struggled. You know why they struggled to make a profit? Because they were paying off that $25,000 debt. Somebody charged them 4 times what they probably should have for the thing. And maybe you've made a mistake. It's not time to quit. It's time to stay determined. Look at what he said. He made $8,000 the first year. And Phil's family was able to live and survive on making duck calls. See, if you're going broke and nothing has been happening for 10 or 15 years, maybe it's time to quit. I know there's a time. There's a time to stop. There's a time to quit. Maybe that's the case. But I can't tell you that. You may just have the gumption to go past 10 or 15 years and trying to do what you're trying to do, and maybe it will eventually break. But you might want to consider just the thought that at some point, where is it where you're not making it? They were able to make it. They were able to live like that. I don't know how much longer Miss K would have put up with it if it went from 8,000 to 6,000 to 4,000. See, at this point, what are your Christian advisors telling you? If you're at this place and you have Christians that love Jesus and love you and be honest with you, what are they telling you? See, wherever you're at, do what Phil did. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. That's the time you need Him more than anything else, when things aren't going right, when you just got fleeced. And He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. You keep doing what is right. Oftentimes in Scripture it says, do what is right even when it hurts or even when it costs you, do what's right. Because the world wants you to say, well, get even and get back at that. That leaves no place for you to trust God to do something miraculous. And then you'll know, God lives. God is alive. God is moving on my behalf. Number 4, be better than the best at something. If you're going to start something, you're going to do something new, you're going to be better than the best at something. One of the things about his duck calls is he said his duck calls sounded more like a real duck than anything else that was out there on the market. And what he had to do was is he had to take and he made a couple different things to make them better. And this quote right here is when he first got started and he didn't know how to run the lathe, he had somebody else making them for him. So that's why the first part of this sounds like this. A lot of new ideas were going into what I had asked him to build. He was asking somebody to build 2,000 of them to get them started, and then he was going to build them. Mine would be a smaller collar and would have a double reed, which I thought were significant improvements. He had something that even the best didn't have. They had a problem with the double reeds. His father came up with a brilliant idea. He said, let's put the double reeds together. Let's take a nail and just put a little dimple in there so there's a little dimple and they won't stick together. They're just a millimeter apart from one another. And he says he doesn't even know if he would have come up with it if his dad hadn't suggested it. Your dream should have something about it that makes it better. It makes it better than the best. Maybe there's tremendous a quality to it. And maybe you can make a quality that's better, and maybe you can sell it something cheaper. Maybe you're making a vacuum hose, a hose for a vacuum cleaner or a car or something. Make it last twice as long as anybody else's. Find a way to make it dependable. Maybe the job you want doesn't exist and you have to design it. Well, design it. Be the best, create the best, and look the best. Christians, let's just try to stop adding something just down here at the lower level and say, yeah, Jesus, take that and bless it. Doggone it. Be the best. Look the best. Be the best out there. If what you're doing and who you are is just like everybody else, what do we need you for? And now here's the thing. Now you're sitting here thinking, I got something, or I'm trying at a new job, and I just don't know what I could do to make it different. Hallelujah, you're a Christian. Thank the Lord you read the Scriptures, because here is where God can help you. He is the God of all wisdom. God can help you. He can give you an idea. He can give you wisdom. Look at verse 7. Be still before the Lord. You know what that means, don't you? Shut up. Be still. Sit and meditate. Let the Lord speak to you in your heart and mind. Maybe you're thinking about what you want to do or what you're trying to invent or how you're trying to retire, whatever it is. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. I don't mind having to wait, but it's the wait patiently that irritates me. Wait patiently for Him. Look at, do not fret. When people succeed in their way, and you look over and see everybody else is succeeding, they're going ahead of me. When they carry out their wicked schemes, folks, whatever the economy is doing, whatever the problem is, whatever is happening, get quiet with Jesus. He can give you wisdom, and He will get the credit, and you will know He is on your side, and it's time to move forward. And when you get to another place where somebody rips you off buying a lathe or whatever it might be, you'll think, Jesus was on my side. I remember Him speaking to me. I remember Him being there for me. I wouldn't be here if He hadn't given me that idea. Number 5, sell your dream. You can say, I'm not a salesman. You can say, I hate salesmen. You can say, I'm not a telemarketer. I hate telemarketers. You can say all of those things. But if you don't sell it, at least at the beginning, who's going to sell it? Look at the ingenious idea that he had, Phil had. Let me read the quote here. He said, I had one big selling tool, and he went to all kinds of different places. I made a recording of a live mallard, of live mallard ducks calling, and then added the sound of me blowing on a duck commander as a comparison. And he took it to places. Here's what this moment, because how are you going to get in and say, what do I need your duck call for? Anticipate the questions in advance. Anticipate the problems in advance and come up with something ingenious like he had. Here's what a real duck sounds like. Here's what my call is. Now blow on one of them, and if you read the, you'll see he had, now blow on yours and see what it sounds like. Began to sell. You see, here's the thing. Christians get all down the line and they want God to do all the rest. They get right to the place and here it is and it's great, and they pray and pray and pray and it just crumbles. Because God is saying, you've prayed enough, now get out there and do something. Christians want God to do 75% of their work or their dream. They really do. I see it all the time. I have a friend who all he ever hopes for is to find buried treasure. I kid you not, he wants to find buried treasure. We're up at Chautauqua one time. He got his goggle mask and stuff like that. Went over to a place called the casino. It wasn't a casino, but they called it the casino. It's where boats came and parked and stuff like that. And people fell and they dropped their wallets and we dropped our phones down there and everything. And he was looking for buried treasure down there. Only problem is down there, if you've ever been to Lake Chautauqua, there's that much silt down there. And anything you drop goes way down there. He's always looking for buried treasure. Are you? Is that kind of your goal? Work hard, get to the place where that. You're going to have to sell it, everybody. You're going to have to get, and selling is hard. Do you know what a flywheel is? A flywheel is something on a car or a motorcycle or any kind of an engine that is weighted. And the hardest thing to do is to get it going. In your car, the thing that gets it going is a 12-volt battery, a pretty powerful starter. It engages and it starts that flywheel. But once that flywheel gets going, it's a lot easier to keep going. And selling and getting your dream off the ground is like getting a flywheel going. It takes a lot of hard work to get it going. Once it gets going, it still takes effort, but not as much effort to get it going. And that's what selling is all about. The amazing thing, if you know anything about the show, is they got that thing up making great money, and Willie, the son Willie, my son Willie was a salesman all of his life. He sold candy out of his locker in school and made money. They lived by a river. He sold bait down by the river. He made money. Willie's the one that approached A&E and got them on A&E. They did a 2-hour pilot and they did it. They were on another show before that. I forget what it was. Sportsman Outdoors or something like that. He's the one that basically sold them and got them to the place that they're at. Now sell your dream. That may be selling yourself. I don't mean selling yourself in a bad way. I mean sell yourself. Sell who you are. The toughest thing for humble people sometimes is to sell yourself. Get over it. Be honest about who you are. Be sober about who you are. But sell yourself. Maybe selling something that you have to sell. Maybe you're trying to sell something that doesn't exist or a new product, but sell it. And in your notes, I have this there. Work hard, trust Jesus, and serve His church. See, all of those things sometimes for Christians, they don't think that they come together. Let me start with the last one first. If Jesus died for the church, if the Scripture tells us that Jesus is the head of the church, and then the picture then is that we are the body of Christ, how can your dream keep you from serving the church? It didn't fulfill in his family. They on TV lots of times will be at their church serving in many different ways. Your dream cannot keep you from serving Jesus Christ and in His church and His people. We serve the body of Christ. So we're back up to trust Jesus. Trusting Jesus, it's kind of all we talk about. Oh yeah, I trust Jesus. I'm a Christian. We say it because it's our language. Except when tough times come. That is how I know if I'm trusting Him. I don't know that I'm trusting Him when everything's great. I know that I'm trusting Him when somebody fleeces me for $25,000 for a lathe that should have been five. That's how you know if you're trusting Jesus. Don't look to see where was He at that time. The question is who are you still trusting? It's very interesting how subtly I can take everything and make me the center of it. Because I don't like what happened to me. Why did you do that to me? Instead of Him being the center of it and me knowing Jesus Christ did nothing wrong, and yet had to suffer and die brutally for my sins. If you're a Christian, that's the guy you follow. And his goal and his dream was to give his life for you. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, wanting to spend eternity with you. Now, what will you endure to get to your dream? The last point there, which actually was the first one up there, is to work hard. Do you know how many times someone has said to me, well, God must not have wanted that to happen, and they did like a little bit of 3-hour work or 2 months work or maybe even a year, something like that. God must not have wanted that. And it's kind of like a really easy way out of not working hard. Christians, you can't just wave some magic wand. Oh yeah, praying is a wonderful and a great thing. You gotta learn how to work hard. So many times Christians had expected Jesus to do the heavy lifting. That's why the central point of what I want to say to you today, the asterisk in your notes right there, Gary will put it up on the screen for us, don't expect Jesus to do your hard work. Don't expect that if you pray, Jesus is going to do your hard work. Yes, prayer is vital. Many Christians think if it fails at first that God has closed the door. Man, I read story after story of people like Billy Graham just had his, 95th birthday, was it? 95th birthday and stuff like that. The things that he tried and failed. Read his book. It's just amazing. Christian men, Christian women, people who tried things, but there was a passion in their heart that wouldn't go away. See, they lived Psalm 37, and they went after what was in their heart. Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. He will give you the desire of your heart. God honors good old-fashioned hard work, and they had it. I was told by one of my members before I planted my first church, Evan, if you work hard, if you will work ruthlessly, you may succeed in planting a church. There's no guarantee. But if you're lazy in doing it, don't expect God to come alongside and bless you. I have never forgot that. I thought He would have told me to pray more. My first church plant, I was hired for 56 hours a week. Truth be told, worked 70 or 80. But why did you get hired for 56 hours? Most people work 40. This was the reasoning behind the leaders that hired me. If your people work 40 or 45 hours a week on their job, and you expect them to maybe tithe back some time in serving, 8 hours, 6 hours, something like that, why should you work 40 hours when they may be putting in 45 or 50 and doing 4 or 5 or 6 hours work for you in ministry? And I think the Lord has always honored that for me. Finding people who understand that, and when He explained that to me, it made total sense. Honestly, I'm not going to say that. I'll get in trouble. How many times will you use our bad economy as an excuse, everybody? Do you know how many businesses are started in bad economies? Are you looking for something that maybe everything is swirling down that you could do something with your resources or whatever it might be? Or maybe somebody else's resources. How many times will we say everything's going down the tube? Maybe your parents are against you. Well, whoopity-doo. They're only your parents. They ain't Jesus. I'm not telling you to be disrespectful. Mom and Dad, shame on you maybe. I don't know what the situation is. Don't let Mom and Dad. I have this right there, just closing. Living the dream, everybody. You want to get to the place living the dream. I want to get to the place living the dream. But I want you to know, I've gotten there. There's other things I'm trying to get. And I know people who are there. You need to understand this about living the dream. It's not as glamorous as people think. Folks, owning your own business or doing your own thing brings a lot of heartburn. Anybody say amen to that? Yeah. It brings a lot of heartburn, but we wouldn't have it any other way. Don't think it's just like, well, now I'm going to be making all kinds of money and somebody else will do the heavy lifting. Many people wouldn't have it any other way, and that's the way that they love it. But folks, never sell yourself short. My hope is today that you will never go it alone, that you will read God's Word, especially Psalm 37. Keep this passage with you. Always stay true to Jesus. Do what's right, even when it costs you. Do what's right, even when it costs you. It's a biblical principle. The man I spoke about when I started this message today, Joe, we'll call him Joe, he had many setbacks to his dreams. And there was times when he came and talked to me and I felt like, oh, brother. I mean, maybe I thought Jesus wasn't big enough to do what He really wanted to do for him. He saw his kids and wife a lot less while he was going through that. He wondered if even many times, does Jesus really want me to have the desire of my heart? But he stayed true to Jesus. He stayed true serving Jesus in the church, I can tell you that. And many times he questioned the same thing that I'm telling you today. About a couple years back, I spoke to him. And he had, after jumping from one job to another, he finally landed his dream job. He's been doing it the last 3 years. It took him a lot longer than he thought. But he wouldn't have it any other way. Folks, never sell yourself short.